So Dennis Beal will come on up. Dennis has become a good friend over the years, and we met back in COVID?
Yeah. Art of COVID.
Whew. That is the thing that we should not talk about. We met and became good friends, and I love what he is doing in our community. So I wanted to just give him an opportunity to share a little bit of what he's doing in his heart for particularly the youth in Eau Claire.
Definitely. Appreciate you, Pastor Jamie. Give him a round of applause, man, for holding it down. And then I'm going to say it like this. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all good? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Always good to get up on a Sunday morning to praise God. So my name is Dennis Beal. I am the CEO and founder of Power Perception. Started the organization back in February of 2020. In the heart of COVID, just imagine you getting something rolling. It's going good. And then all of a sudden, the world shut down. I'm not going to lie. You'll question God at that moment. I did. But like God always say, man, like when you have that faith as small as a mustard seed to continuously believe in him, that's something that I truly did. And obviously, my organization is not faith-based, but I am. And so one of the biggest things for me was just taking that leap out on faith and just going with the flow. So I'm happy to say that we've been running for about 5 years now here just in February, so we can even give you a round of applause to that. You know how nonprofits are. It's not easy sustaining a nonprofit. I'm just being honest with you all. I used to work in higher education. Just took a leap out on faith and started my own nonprofit. But basically, I work with African-American and biracial youth in the 6th through 12th grade. You can follow us. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And basically, the mission behind it is creating a valuable toolbox of resources to equip these young kings and queens to become contributing citizens in today's society. So it's not just one thing that I'm teaching them, like one way to be successful is master a craft, pick up a trade, become an entrepreneur, or go to college, right? The world is your oyster. It's just like I always use the analogy of like a buffet. What do you see when you go into a buffet? A variety of different options that you put on your plate and you try them out. Some of them you're going to like, some of them you're just going to not even touch, right? But the biggest thing is that you tried it. And so that's the biggest thing with what we're doing. Another thing is that we're trying to craft future leaders, man, because obviously they don't see a lot of African-American and biracial people in successful positions, especially being in this community. And so one of the things is I have a lot of staff members within my wheelhouse that I've mentored personally myself. And obviously me being a role model as well, I just want to be that leading example for the next set of leaders that are up, and that's the younger generation. And so one of the biggest things when I first started this organization was poverty. When I looked at the county stats, it was the African-American population was the second highest when it came to poverty. And so honestly, that was like a detrimental to my heart. And I was just like, what do we specifically have that's geared towards this population? We didn't have much. And so the biggest thing is my program is low cost to no cost. And honestly, like all these contributions from you all meant everything because it's sustainability at the end of the day. Just to give you all a prime example, we went to South Africa summer of 2023. And I'll give you all, I hate to talk about numbers, but I want to give you all an example. So the trip cost $6,000 per person, and I only charged $75 to the mentees to go on this life-changing journey for about 2 weeks. And so that's the biggest thing when it comes to low cost to no cost. We went for 2 weeks, life-changing experience. We did a documentary. You all could check it out on our website. And so, man, that's the biggest thing with what we're doing is just trying to create opportunities for African-American and biracial youth. And I want to leave you all with a quote because I know I'll get up here and get to talking and preaching and all the good stuff, man. But I want to leave you all with a quote that I've basically came up, well, basically that I'm living by this upcoming year is that when you want to go somewhere fast, you go alone. And when you want to go somewhere far, you go together. And so that's the biggest thing with you all, man. It's just creating a village. You all are a part of that village as well. So I'm truly grateful for all the support from the back end to the front end. Like, I really appreciate this. And like I always talk to Pastor Jamie, man, I really appreciate you all. Thank you all again for the opportunity to have us today. All right? Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. The thing that I love about Dennis, when I first met him, I think it was Matt Peterson who goes to this church, was like, you got to meet this guy. And so we were able to meet, and I love it because he has big heart and big vision for this community and the people in it, and particularly black and biracial families. And I loved it because when I first met him, it was like a breath of fresh air because he's doing something about it. And he's a man of action and a man of faith. And so let's pray for him. And if you want to further support them, they got a Facebook page. You can go on their website. You can support them in any way that you want. There's plenty of opportunity a growing organization and a growing program. So I'd love for you to check out his page, his social media, and check out what they do. But let's pray for Dennis. Jesus, we thank you so much for Dennis. We thank you that he is your son, and you've equipped him with passions and skills and gifts and vision to serve others and to empower and lead others. So Jesus, we pray that you would strengthen his courage and keep providing him vision and the strength to keep chasing after it. In the times where it's discouraging, we pray that his eyes would be focused on you and nothing else. We pray for this program that it would continue to reach hundreds of kids throughout our community and schools. Many of those kids are searching for hope and reason and purpose. And we pray that Dennis and his program and his mentees and mentors will work together to help people see what you've created them for. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Dennis will be hanging out after this service, so thank you. If you want to connect with him, is that all right, Dennis? People come talk to you? All right. Didn't want to just volunteer that. A note about space. So, if you can tell, our first service is getting crowded. So, when you arrive here, do your best. I know it's a little awkward at first, but move in towards the middle. And then anybody that is sitting there going, man, this is crowded. There's a lot of people here. We have a second service that you can go to if that fits your schedule in time. We're working on other means to attempt to just make more room. As people come, we want to make more room so that people experience Jesus, right? That's kind of why we're here, right? So we're all on board with that the vision. We're all on board with that mission. So let's we're going to make some changes and try some things to try to create space. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, and they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin, yet I will tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow will be thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. Come on, Jesus. Coming after our worry too. Like anybody else going through the Sermon on the Mount just going, ah, this too, Jesus? Come on, this isn't off limits. Sermon on the Mount, we've been talking about it, right? We've been going through. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with kind of this standard of living. He begins by declaring this upside down kingdom, that the ones who are going to be blessed aren't rich, aren't powerful, don't have it all together, don't ignore unrighteousness. Jesus says the ones that have it all, the ones that will be blessed are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who are poor in spirit, the ones that mourn, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted. He takes everybody that the culture says will be blessed and goes, no, 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 it's not there. It's over here. That the posts don't cover, the news doesn't cover. It's over here in the shadows. It's over here in the struggle, in the pain, in the everyday life. That's who's going to be blessed. And then he says, look, you're to be salt and light into the world. And then the rest of the sermon, he starts just digging into the hearts of his disciples. He says, don't be angry. When you have contempt in your heart, it's like starting a small blaze in your soul that will quickly burn out of control. He says, get rid of anger. It's equivalent to murder. And then he says, don't lust after another person, because when you do, you've already committed adultery. He says, be a person of your word. Love your enemy. Be careful with revenge. And when you feel revenge coming on, be generous. He says, give to the needy. Pray to your Father. Pray for the kingdom. Pray for daily provisions. And forgive. When somebody hurts you, forgive. And it might be for the other person, but forgive, because it's might just be more for you. And forgive, because in your vertical relationship, you've been forgiven. God's been merciful. God's been gracious. God redeems. God meets us where we are at. And so that is to spill over into our horizontal relationships. And then last week, we talked about money, we talked about your heart, and we talked about treasure. And Jesus has this line, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be too. I said this line last week, money reveals the heart. If you don't have enough of it, or you're worried about it, or you're striving for it, or you just can't make it, you can't pay all the bills at the end of the month, it quickly reveals what's in your heart, doesn't it? It quickly reveals what you worship in life. I know, on the surface, we're all in church. We all like to say, oh yeah, we'll worship God, no problem. I worship Jesus, that's number one. But in reality, throughout our week, throughout our day, it's a grind, and we have to guard and protect our hearts, and specifically with money, and this next thing I'm going to talk about, quickly reveals our hearts and what we are worshiping. I might be worshiping control, comfort. I might be chasing after the created things, thinking that if I get more of this, it's going to make my life good. It's going to make my life better. And Jesus reminds us, the created things will just leave you wanting more. Chase after God. Make God the king on the throne of your heart. And you'll be satisfied. After Jesus talked about money, I don't really think this is a coincidence, but Jesus talks about money with his disciples, and then directly after that, he goes into the topic of worry. Now, don't lie to me. Raise your hand if you worry. All right. I just want to set the record straight. I don't want anybody sitting here going, oh, it's only me. I'm the only one that struggles with this. Like, this is something that we all struggle with. So I want you to just think about something right now. Like, what's the latest thing that you worried about? What's the latest thing that, like, distracted you, that took all your attention, that made you feel panicky, that brought anxiety into your body and mind? What's the last thing that you worried about? Well, there's no shortage of things to worry about, right? You watch the news. Every day, there's something new to worry about. There's the markets crashing. There's all these things going on politically. There's just our own lives. We don't know the certainty of maybe our jobs, or we don't know the certainty of the direction that we should go in. There is plenty of things to worry about. And just like treasure, I would argue that worry reveals the condition of our hearts. Worry reveals what our hearts are focused on. Worry reveals our hearts. Worry reveals a striving to control. It reveals fear. Worry reveals a lack of trust. It tends to make us feel paralyzed. So even if I had some steps that I could take, I'm so worried about taking them and so worried about the thing that I'm afraid to take any steps. Worry paralyzes us. I don't know about you, but I can get so stuck in rehearsing the situation over and over and over and over again. What might happen? What could happen? What if this happened? What if they said this? What if they did this? What if this doesn't come through? What if this falls apart? Anybody feel like anxious yet? You're like, thanks, I wasn't thinking about that this morning, but now I got a list. Worry reveals what we think about God, ultimately. And worry reveals what we think God thinks about us. Worry reveals what we think about God, and worry reveals what we think God thinks about us. Right? Jesus is talking, we'll get back into the scriptures. Jesus says, therefore, because of all that I've said here, because all that I've said in the previous chapters, verses, all that talk about money and treasure, therefore, don't worry about your life. I love it. I'm talking about money, I'm talking about treasures. Therefore, don't worry. Don't worry what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or about what clothes you will wear. Is not life more than food, or the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are any one of them not much more valuable than you? Anybody feel like, I don't know, sometimes I read these verses and I just feel like, all right, Jesus, you're just kind of being a little like not serious about this, right? Don't worry. Hey, go look at the birds. Go look at the flowers. Like, does anybody feel like that might be like a little lacking in advice, right? Like, I read this and in a first read, I'm like, come on, Jesus. Like, that's such an like pat answer. Or like an answer that actually won't make a difference. But I think Jesus is profound in what he's saying. And in verse 27, he kind of attacks worry. He goes, hey, listen, can any of you add any hour of your life by worrying? Can you? Like, let's be real, right? What's accomplished when you worry about something? Does it add anything? Does it add anything to your life? Brené Brown, in this book called Atlas of the Heart, it's a profound book just basically about emotions and feelings. So if you want to dig into those, It's a great book. But she talks about worry and anxiety, and she talks about how these two things go together. She said worry is not an emotion. It's the thinking part of anxiety. The anxiety part is the physical part. Worry is described as a chain of negative thoughts about bad things that might happen in the future. Right? You think about anything you've ever worried about. What are the thoughts? They're mostly, they're all pretty much futuristic, and they're all painting multiple various scenarios about how this could play out in your life. And she said this, she did a lot of research about worrying, and she said, research tells us that those of us with a tendency to worry believe it is helpful for coping. So you're stressed. You start to worry, and you start to play out this scenario, this scenario, this scenario. What if this happens? What if that happens? All these things. And we can trick ourselves to go, oh, that's actually us coping with this stress. And she goes, actually, research shows that it doesn't help coping. It's actually really harmful for your mind and for your body. She says, also, people that worry believe it's uncontrollable, which means we don't try to stop it. We just give into it and follow down the path of wherever it leads us. She also says, that we don't try to worry, or we try to suppress worried thoughts when it gets too serious. Which, when we actually try to suppress the worried thoughts and say, stop thinking about this, it actually forces us to think about it more, right? If I tell you to look out for the white elephant, were you thinking about a white elephant before? No. But I imagine most of us had this image of a white elephant that just popped into our mind. She says, we need to recognize that worrying is not a helpful coping mechanism, and absolutely, that we absolutely can learn how to control it, and that rather than suppressing worry, we need to dig into it and address the emotion driving the thinking. Jesus, worry doesn't add a single hour to your life. According to all the studies, and I imagine you've experienced this in your own life, as you've worried, you've probably experienced this, that worry robs you of peace, it robs you of action, it robs you of the health of your mind and body, and overall, it really doesn't produce much fruit in your life. I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't already know. Jesus continues. Oh, side note, I just want to make this clear. There is a biological need and function for fear, anxiety, and worry at a base survival level. All right? I don't think that's what Jesus is referring to in these passages. And I don't think that's what most of us are dealing with when we struggle with our worry and anxiety. Right? So there is a base biological function for worry, anxiety, and fear. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about, and I don't think that's what we mainly deal with in our culture and society. Matthew 6:28. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire, will he not clothe you much more? You of little faith, don't worry. And then he has this line, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is essentially saying, look to the birds as an example. They don't stop working for food or building their nests, but they don't worry about it. Look at the flowers of the field. They do what they were built to do, but they don't worry about it. Jesus is essentially saying, He arrives at this part, Rich Velotta said this, he arrives at this part in his kingdom manifesto. And he wants us to know something about God. Because the pagans run after all those things. The pagans run after the created, trying to sustain and make their life mean something, trying to satisfy the desires of their life. The pagans worry and rob themselves of all this peace and joy and love. And the pagans are chasing after these things because they don't believe in a God. And it's like Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something about God as I point to these different examples, that God is trustworthy. Rich says, there's a truth we need to hear again and again. Our Father has an endless supply of love and compassion for us. He says, as someone who grew up without much financially, I can easily slip into the state of worry, believing that God's resources will run out of me. But hear Jesus' encouragement. God has an endless supply of goodness aimed your way. See, when our minds succumb to worry, it reveals something about what we think about God. Because I'm going to worry when I think I have to do it on my own. I'm going to worry when I think I have to come up with a solution. I'm going to worry when I think me and me alone has to fill the bank account. I worry when I think it's all on me to fix this relationship. But I remind myself who God is. Some of that worry's lifted. Because I'm going, I believe in a good and gracious God who's got my back. Who will provide, who will go before me, who will walk alongside of me, who will even clean up a mess or two behind me. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. I don't think, this verse, I think in like Christianese circles gets translated into like, put Jesus first. Yeah, I think it's saying that. But I think a better understanding of what it is Jesus is sitting here saying, I've been talking to you through this sermon about the values of what the kingdom life looked like. Seek those values in your own life. Live like this. Seek after me. Seek after the kingdom. Seek after, develop these values in your own life as you follow me. And then Jesus ends this section with, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I love that. Each day has enough trouble on its own. So what are you worried about? Jesus says, don't worry. It's not good for you. So Jesus, how do you propose that we stop worrying, Jesus? Worrying is taking over my life, Jesus. I can't seem to help it. It just happens. I'm worried about the bills. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about what's next. I'm worried about the move. I'm worried about the relationship. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about my weight. I'm worried about next year. I'm worried that the Chiefs are going to win again this year. Sorry, just had a break. Break the ice. Well, what do I do, Jesus? What do I do when I'm stuck? Jesus says, hey, go for a walk. Look around. Just walk out the doors and just go for a walk in the woods. Go for a walk down your block. Look up, look around. Look at all that's around you. Take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10:5, and go for a walk. See, when I first read these verses, I kind of think this is like light, fluffy stuff. I kind of think like, Jesus, you're not serious. Like, you've got to have a better answer to my worried state, my worried mind that I can't seem to stop. You got to have a better answer than go for a walk. Yet, I'm not sure there could be a better answer. Jesus says, get outside. Interrupt your thought process, which is what Paul says, take every thought captive. Like, grab them. Examine them. Look at them. Decide what needs to be there and what you need to tell goes, get out of here. You don't belong in this space. Take every thought captive. Interrupt the flow of thinking, of worry, the obsession. Interrupt it. Get out and do something with your body and look at the beauty. Be reminded of God's beauty, of God's power, of God's provision. Interrupt your mind's worry and go for a walk. Get your focus off of what might happen and onto what is now happening all around you. And I think Jesus is serious about this. Just as serious as he's been about anything else that he's talked about. So this week, when you feel prone to worry, I want you to go for a walk. Go talk to Jesus. Go look at his beauty, look at the provision, and see if that doesn't change your thinking. Amen? Amen. As worship team comes up, they're going to sing a couple songs, and I just invite you, if you have something you are worried about, just like imagine it in your hand. And imagine you holding it. You don't have to tell anybody about it. It might be bills, it might be a relationship, it might be something you've done and you're afraid people might find out. It might be anything. Whatever you're worried about, whatever is consuming your mind, your headspace, and running uncontrolled in your mind, I want you to just imagine it in your hand and I want you to hold it. We're going to sing through these songs, and I'll come up at the end and tell you what to do with it. We invited Dennis and whoever else to speak, just to share a little bit about what they do, what they're passionate about. So here you go.
All right. How's everybody doing? Good morning. Let's do it. Okay, so I want to say thank you all again for having us this morning. This means everything. It's round two for us now. We was at the 9 a.m. service as well. But I want to say this. I'm the CEO and founder of Power Perception. Created the organization back in February of 2020. Just imagine in the heart of the pandemic, getting rolling, and all of a sudden the world shut down. It's kind of make you question God, question life, question a lot of things, right? But we made it happen. And I'm happy to say that ever since we started about back in February of 2020. We now are now in all the middle schools, so South, DeLong, North Star, and then we're in all the high schools, North High School and Memorial High School as well. And then we're also at the Juvenile Detention Center as well, too. So giving back in a major capacity, so we can give a round of applause for that, for us just starting off like that. And our mission is basically serving African-American and biracial youth in the 6th through 12th grade. Our mission is creating a valuable toolbox of resources to equip these young kings and queens in becoming contributing citizens in today's society. And one of our biggest things is we're not teaching them one way to be successful. It's just like when you go into a buffet, what do you see? A variety of different food. That's how I want them to see life. Look at life as a variety of different choices. And what do you do when you go to a buffet? You put that food on your plate. Some of the stuff you're going to try, some of the stuff you're not, right? And so that's the thing that I want them to do, explore different careers. We take them out to local field trips, to even international trips, to a variety of different plethora of things that they could do with their life. And so that's the biggest MO behind us. Another big thing is that we're just trying to create future leaders for our community so they could see different people that look like ourselves in those higher up positions. Because let's be frank about it, right? Probably what you all just saw on the news not too long ago, you saw a lot of African-American males being incarcerated, right, for doing various different crimes. But that's not the image that we want to portray. We want to make sure that they see people like us doing great work. And like Pastor Jamie say, in the field, like Willie always say, we in the trenches with it, right? So we're going to go in there, make sure these kids are well taken care of, making sure they got everything that they desire for. And like they always say, it takes a village, man. It takes a village. And you all are now a part of that village. So it takes a village to help raise our youth. But I want to, before I go on a tangent, because I can keep going, I promise y'all I could. Pastor Jamie going to have to switch it up on the preaching. But I want to leave you all with a quote that we're actually living by right now this year. Here, let me get it right. All right. So when you want to go somewhere fast, you go alone. When you want to go when you want to go somewhere far, you go together. And so I'm blessed that we have the opportunity to go together with you all. So you all are helping us to continue this mission. And I'm even grateful to have some of my family here, some of my team members here. And then after that, I'm gonna let them kind of tell more of their testimony so it's not just coming from me. All right.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Willie McCaleb. Born and raised in Mulberry, Florida. I've been a resident of Eau Claire for the last 10 years now. And I've been a part of Power Possession since day one. When Dennis called me up and asked me to be a part of the team, it was a blessing. And I knew right away that it was something I wanted to be a part of. And just to piggyback off Dennis, like, this is something I have a passion about too. Because growing up back in Florida where I grew up at, all the resources wasn't available to us. And there's a lot of things that we didn't know growing up. And now we are in positions that the things that we know, we can set our mentees up ahead of what we were. So when I was 13, 14 years old, I want them to have more knowledge than what I had when I was 13, 14 years old. And the way you do that is by getting out and giving back, all right, and truly having a passion and genuinely doing things the right way. And I think the mission that we have here at Power Perception is geared towards what we need to do for our young people in our community, right? And like Dennis said, they need to see more people that look like us doing things the right way and moving the right way and being successful and giving God the glory each and every time we have some success, or even when we don't have the success, you still steadfast and give God the glory. So my mission here of being part of Power Perception is to just set them up, all right? Teach them about, you know, saving money, teaching them about different careers, different opportunities, because let's be honest about it. Like, coming out from our communities, whether it's from Atlanta, where Dre is from, Chicago, where Dennis and Collis is from, and Jalen, like, you know, it's either you in the streets, I'm going to be honest, you playing sports, or you trying to, you know, rap or something like that. So, like, that's the God honest truth, you know. So just to present different opportunities for our kids and show them there's more than one way to be successful, and you don't have to go the route that what you've seen in your community. So I want to thank you all for your contributions, your belief with our program, and I ask that you can continue doing it, all right, because we're gonna give our kids and any other kid everything that we have, all right? So the more you help, the more we can give and the more we can push our culture forward and push our kids in the right direction. So thank you and continue doing what you're doing, and God bless.
Hello, my name is Khalil Mutaki. Oh, sorry about that. A little nervous. But I am a mentee of Power Perception as of last year. But these past 2 years, I've learned so much about my future and about what careers I want to pursue. And my grades have never looked better. That's all thanks to Dennis and the team that they have. But yeah, I just want to give an example. I'm going to college. I didn't think I was going to, but thanks to Dennis and everybody around me, I've decided I wanted to go to a college and pursue a dream that I've had since I was little. But that's really it. I just want to say thank you to Dennis and all the other mentors I have.
And I want to say this, just to chime in a little bit. Khalil is not from here. He's originally from Morocco. So y'all can understand that transition of him transitioning from Morocco to the States wasn't easy for him. So we blessed to have him in our program. So give him another round of applause for that.
My name is Aisha Campbell. This is my second year in Power Perception. When I first came into Power Perception, I didn't know anything about my Black culture. But these past 2 years, I've learned a lot. So I wanted to thank Dennis.
My name is Kiana Berth. This is my fourth year in Power Perception, right? Yeah. I go to North High School, and I went to DeLong in sixth grade. And when I joined Power Perception, I didn't realize, like, the amount of people that, like, were here for me. And not, like, just, like, here for me, but, like, other people of my skin color. I don't know. I was a bad kid, a very bad kid. And I've definitely gotten a lot better and realized that the people, like, you hang around with, like, definitely influences, like, a lot of your choices and, like, mind use. I don't know. Something like that. I don't know. But being around Dennis and his mentors have definitely helped me out a lot, especially in, like, classes, friends, all that kind of stuff. I've got to see a lot of cool things, and I appreciate that. So I just wanted to thank everybody here today to come and listen to us and talk. So.
All right, my name is Collis McLeod Jr., originally from the south side of Chicago, came to Eau Claire in 2013 to play football at UW-Eau Claire and decided to stay around. I met this guy in 2015. He was my advisor and mentor at UW-Eau Claire. I was a part of Power Perception right away in 2020, and then had to take some time to myself to figure life out and figure out what I was going to do for my career, and I came back September of 2023. And it's been all uphill since then. I'm also one of the mentors for our College Access program. That is something that I'm extremely passionate about. So right now we have 11 kids in our College Access program, 11 juniors and seniors. And it's really just, like Dennis said, providing a toolbox of resources so they know how to navigate the mountains and valleys of college, the application process, references, resume, and then, you know, staying with them through at least throughout their first year of college. We do have one student at the UW Superior that we still talk to on a daily basis, and he come back, you know, for events and things like that. And then we are taking our second trip here in March to Houston and Dallas to do a college road trip, and we'll visit 8 universities across Houston and Dallas with 8 of our College Access program students. So a tremendous opportunity, and thank you guys for contributing to that opportunity so we can continue to do the work that we're doing in our community.
Thank you all again.
Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Willa. Thank you, Mike. It takes a lot of guts to get up here and talk, right? It's a little scary looking out here. You guys did amazing, and thank you guys so much. I love what Power Perception is doing. I met Dennis a while ago, 2020, and the thing that kind of stirred in me was just like, he's a man of action. Like, he's a man of vision and action, and there's needs in the community that they are addressing and doing everything to support, encourage, and raise up our youth. That's a high task, and I thank you so much. You guys are welcome to come here and preach anytime. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing in our series from the Sermon on the Mount. We'll do a shorter message on this, so if you want the fuller treatment, go ahead and listen to the first service again. But Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, we'll read through it, and then we'll start talking about it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you add, or any one of you by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow will be thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Man, come on, Jesus. You're coming after our worry too? Like every week in this sermon series, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is addressing something that is a part of all of our lives. And he's calling us out on it, and he's talking about our hearts. So last week we talked about finances. And we talked about how Jesus is linking money with treasure and says, Jesus has this line in there, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Money has a way of revealing what's in your heart. See, if you don't have enough money, or you need more money, or you can't pay the bills at the end of the month, or you don't have the finances to get where you want to go, you will quickly find out what's in your heart. You will quickly find out what you're actually worshiping. You might quickly find out that you're worshiping control. If I have enough money, I get to control the circumstances. I don't need to depend on anybody or anybody else or anything else. I get to provide for myself. So you might be worshiping control. You might be worshiping comfort. Life is just better when you have money, right? Like, can we be honest about that? When you have what you need, life tends to be a little better. I might be chasing after the created things, thinking that if I could just have this, if I just get that, or if I could have more of this, then my life will be satisfied. Money reveals what's in our hearts. It also reveals where our hearts are focused. And here's the thing. Jesus then turns his attention to worry, which I don't think it's a mistake or coincidence that he's talking about money, and then he immediately goes to the topic of worry. Because if you don't have enough money, what do? Worry. Can I have a show of hands just to make sure we're all on the same team? Have you worried about anything this year? Raise your hand. Good, just want to make sure. Nobody's sitting in there going, I'm the only one that worries. Worry is something that we all do. Anxiety is something that we all deal with. And after Jesus talks about money, he then also talks and turns his focus to worry. Because just like money reveals the conditions of our hearts, the health of our hearts, what our hearts are focused on, worry reveals our hearts. Worry reveals a striving for control. Worry reveals fear. Worry reveals a lack of trust. Worry tends to make us feel paralyzed. So even if I know the next steps, I'm stuck in worrying and I don't know how to get from here to there, and it tends to paralyze me, right? It tends to freeze us up as we forecast all the possible solutions that might happen. We get stuck in rehearsing the situations or the conversations in our head over and over and over and over again. Here's the thing, worry also reveals what you think about God. Worry reveals what we think God thinks about us also. So worry reveals what you think about God, your grand view of God. Does God have my back? Is God going to provide? Can I count on him? Can I put my faith and my trust in him? It also reveals what you think God thinks about you. Am I worth as a son or daughter of Jesus? Am I worth God providing for me? Do I believe that? So Jesus is doing a lot in this small section about worry. He begins, he says, therefore, because I just talked about finances, therefore, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, about your body, about what you wear. Is life not more than all of those things? He says, go look at the birds. The birds, they're hustling, they're going, they're working for their food to build their nests. They're working, but you don't see them worrying about anything. And then Jesus in this line 27 says, can one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Has any of us added an hour of our life by worrying? I'll answer that for you. No. Right? Worrying typically does not bring about good things in our life. And Jesus says, look, it's not going to accomplish much by you worrying about things. Brené Brown has a book called Atlas of the Heart, and she talks about worrying and anxiety goes together. Worry is not an emotion, it's the thinking part of anxiety. You feel anxiety in your head, in your mind, in your body, and it usually goes hand in hand with I'm worrying, I'm overthinking, I'm trying to play out all of these scenarios. Worry is described as a chain of negative thoughts about bad things that might happen in the future. Right? You're trying to rehearse the scenarios. You're trying to play them out. How's this going to go? What if this happens? What if that happens? Jesus says, does it add anything to your life? Brené Brown in her research talked about worry, and she said, here's a couple things that I've noticed in researching about worry. Those of us that have a tendency to worry believe it's helpful for coping. So if I worry, it might help me relieve the stress that I'm feeling. And she said, research shows time and time again, it absolutely does not. It doesn't help. It doesn't actually relieve stress. It actually brings more stress on. She says those that worry also believe that it is uncontrollable, which means we don't try to stop worrying. And she also says when it gets too much, we try to suppress the worried thoughts, which by trying to suppress the worried thoughts, it actually strengthens them and reinforces them. Because what do you think about? You think about what you're focused on. If I tell you there's a white elephant coming through the door, I guarantee before I said that you did not think about white elephants. But I guarantee most of us had a picture run through our mind of what a white elephant would look like, right? You think, you focus, that's what you start to become. Research, time and time again, says worrying does not add to our lives. And I imagine this is what you've just experienced in life. That worry robs you of peace, it robs you of action, it robs you of health, of your mind and body. And overall, it really doesn't produce much fruit. Jesus is saying essentially, look at the birds, look at the fields, look at the flowers. They are doing what they were created to do. And they're not worried about it. Jesus continues, look at the flowers of the field. Like the richest guy in the scriptures could only dream to look that good, right? Could only dream to be that beautiful. There is a side note about worry, fear, and anxiety. That there's a biological need and function for fear, anxiety, and worry at a base survival level. But here's the thing, I don't think Jesus is talking about that base survival level. It is necessary for life in some scenarios when we're talking about survival. But Jesus isn't talking about that, and I don't think that's a majority of what we worry about, our base survival. So Jesus keeps going, and he talks about the fields and the flowers. And then he says, what shall we wear for, in verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is pointing out, and he's going, look, the pagans, they don't believe in God. The pagans don't believe in a God, and so they chase after all these things that they think are going to bring them satisfaction. They chase after all these things they think will bring them their greatest joys in life. They think it's going to bring them stability. And they're chasing after all these things, but he's like, here's the thing. You know something they don't know. You know God. And so really worry reveals how we're trusting in God. Reveals who we think God is. Do we think God is just some off, distant person sitting in a big, giant chair like a judge up there? Or do we think God is intimately involved in the details of our life? Do we believe that God cares and loves so much about his sons and daughters that he's going to provide, that he's going to bring provision, that he's going to meet you where you are at and give you what you need? See, Jesus is basically saying, because you believe in God, you can let go of all this stuff. You can let go of striving. Jesus places reminders of provision all around us, in the air, in the field. And the main question is, are we paying attention? Rich Velotis, in his book, The Narrow Path, says this, when Jesus arrives at this part of the kingdom, he's proclaiming and he wants us to know something about God. God is trustworthy. This truth we need to hear again and again. Our Father has an endless supply of love and compassion for us. Rich says, as someone who grew up without much financially, I can easily slip into the state of worry, believing that God's resources will run out on me. But hear Jesus' encouragement. God has an endless supply of goodness aimed our way. Do you believe that about God? Jesus continues and he ends his message, this section of the message, and he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. So you go to Jesus and you go, Jesus, I'm worried. I'm struggling with worry. I don't know how to pay these bills. I don't know about this relationship. I don't know about what I'm supposed to do when I'm older. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. I don't know what direction to take. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Worrying is taking over my life. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about the salary that I make. I'm worried about next year. I'm worried about my weight. I'm worried that the Chiefs are going to win another Super Bowl this year. Sorry if there's any Chiefs fans. What does Jesus say? I used to read Jesus' advice or instruction is something that, like, maybe he wasn't really serious about, right? Like, it feels a little flippant, but I actually think it's profound. If you were to go to Jesus and say, I'm worried, worry is taking over my life, what do? Jesus, I think, would look at you and just say, hey, I want you to go for a walk. I want you to go for a walk and look around you. I want you to get out of your house. I want you to go for a walk in the park, a walk down the street, a walk in the woods. And I want you to look all around you. I want to look at the trees, look at the birds flying, look at the beautiful snow, look at everything that's around you. Take every thought captive, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take it captive. Stop the train of thought and go for a walk. Jesus says go for a walk because when you go for a walk, you are going to interrupt what you're worried about. And you will be reminded of the beauty of God, the power of God, the provision of God. Get your focus off of what might happen and get your focus onto what is happening now all around you. So I want you to do something. Think about something you're currently worried about. And I want you to hold out your hand like this. Trust me. I want you to hold whatever it is you're thinking about and worried about, whatever's consuming your mind. You don't have to tell anybody else. Whatever's consuming your mind, I want you to take and hold it in your hand. Worship team's going to come up, and we're going to sing a couple songs as a prayerful reflection about who God is, about who we are. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for who you are.